So as we continue on, last week we saw probably a very awful scene with the death of Herod. We finished out chapter 12 as we see Herod failed to give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. This is something that had happened in the life of the early church. And then Luke continues to move on and show us how the gospel continues to progress, even in spite of those who are opposed to the gospel. This is exactly what he's continuing to do. The gospel continues to move forward according to God's will and in God's timing, using the people called by God. And we follow this now into chapter 13. And Luke takes us back to the church at Antioch. He departed for a few minutes and told us about the death of James, the arrest of Peter, and then the death of Herod. And so now into chapter 13, he takes us back to the church at Antioch, and he points us to the kinds of people who were there. You remember that the church at Antioch was the first Gentile church. It was in the third largest city, as we saw last week, and they were teachers, there were prophets there, and we have five of them who are named. We have Barnabas, which we know, Simeon, we don't know much about him, Lucius from Cyrene, Manaen, who was a member of the court of Herod, or the word there is Centrophos, which means literally reared together. So he was brought up with Herod. So this guy was a very influential man, probably a somewhat like a prince in the area. So he's raised with Herod the Tetrarch, and then we have Saul. So we have these five people who are prophets and teachers. And God has brought them here. We saw at the end of chapter 11, as the church grew, Barnabas was sent to see what's happened. Barnabas was the son of encouragement. He encouraged them to grow, to remain steadfast in the Lord. And then he realized the church needed to be taught. So he went to Tarsus to get Saul and brought him back. And at the end of chapter 11, verse 26, we see Paul or Saul, actually. We'll stick with how it is in the text here. Saul and Barnabas taught for a year. And then more prophets come. As we see the following, at the end of chapter 11, more prophets come. So God's bringing people into his church to grow his church. But they don't stay there. That's what we see. We see God's hand upon the people that he brings that are trained and taught, and then he calls them out. And this happens, as we see in verse 2, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them." While they're worshiping and fasting. When you think about worshiping and fasting, why do people fast? Why do we fast? Why was this church fasting? Fasting means you forego food and intently seek the Lord for something. And they have gathered together as a church in the middle of a worship service, it looks like, while they're ministering to the Lord, they're serving the Lord, fasting together. Now, from the context, it looks like it's just these five leaders. But in the Greek, it might point us to the fact it's the whole congregation who are part of this. So the whole church looks like they're fasting and praying. But these five particularly are leading in the worship. They're fasting and praying and worshiping. And while they're in the midst of this, while they're earnestly seeking the Lord, what happens? The Holy Spirit says, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul." Now, Luke doesn't tell us how he says it. And we don't know, but it's probably according to one of the prophets who probably is speaking, makes it very clear that it's the Holy Spirit who said this. So this was initiated by God. And what's he doing? He's calling them out for the continued ministry. They're not deciding this on their own. It's not a strategy meeting. They're not planning for how they can move forward. They're looking to wisdom from the Lord. They're asking him, I don't know what they're asking. When we get we see the answer, it could be, "God, what would you have us do?" That might be what they're seeking the Lord. We don't know. The text doesn't tell us. But why would they be seeking the Lord here? They've got all of these teachers and prophets. They're well-equipped. People they love. They've been teaching for over a year. And they're praying and fasting, and the Holy Spirit says, "Set apart Paul and Barnabas and Saul for the work that I've already called them to." Now, he doesn't tell us what they're called to. We know from chapter 9 that Saul, has been called to take the name of Jesus to the Gentiles, to kings, and to the Jews. So we know Saul's call. We already know that. But now the Holy Spirit says, "Set these folks apart." Why? Isn't it interesting that the Holy Spirit has already called them, and yet as a church, they're to set these folks apart, set them apart for the work that I've called them to. And then, so they do. They obey immediately. Look at verse 3. After fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and they sent them off. So this is a commissioning service. This is exactly what we're going to do today. We're going to pray for Andy and Daniel and send them off. Ask the Lord to bless them. They have a ministry to go to. They have a purpose. They've been working. You're going to hear about all that's happening on the ground now. And they're asked to be sent off after praying and fasting. So they obey quickly. When the Lord calls, we should obey quickly. When he leads, we need to move. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit. Notice all of this happens as the calling of the Holy Spirit. This is not the decision of man. The continued movement of the gospel happens by the direction of the Holy Spirit. What's the Holy Spirit leading you to do? As we have a calling, all of us have a calling. I prayed specifically that the Lord would raise up vocational missionaries from our church. There are a couple who are we will pray for this morning. If you look out on the in the lobby, you see pictures of all of our missionaries, where they are. There's a couple who have come up from the ministries of this church and other churches nearby. Pray with me for more. Would you join me in asking the Lord to let us see more folks raised up to be sent out who might be here for just a little while? And notice, who do they send out? Barnabas and Saul. Do you think that church loved those guys? How many of them were in Saul's Sunday school class? Do you think they loved listening to him preach and teach? I think they did. And yet, what is the Holy Spirit asking them to do? Not keep them there so that they can grow a great big giant church. What is the Holy Spirit saying to do? Send them out. Would we be willing to send out our best? Barnabas, the son of encouragement, he was a blessing to this church. When he was sent by the church in Jerusalem, he encouraged them in the Lord to grow and be stronger. Would you willingly send out the best? Would we as a church be willing to lay our hands on our best, send them out for the sake of the gospel? Or do we have a tendency to just keep him here? He's a good teacher. He's got a good Sunday school class. We're thinking of expanding it next semester. Maybe add a couple of classes so Saul can teach, right? He's drawing a crowd. The Lord's got his hand on him. Not good to send him out. We should keep him here. That's not what they do, is it? They send him out. Do you think that was a bittersweet sending? When they sent out Barnabas and Saul, could we willingly bless the sending of our best? It cost something, didn't it? And so they're sent out. By whom? By the Holy Spirit. It's God who's doing the leading. It's the Holy Spirit who's leading. We must pray exactly for that. We did it on the elders' retreat. We prayed, Lord, what would you have us do? We must continue to pray that. Being sent out, they went on a journey. They traveled to Cyprus, which was Barnabas' hometown. It's interesting to me that the Holy Spirit sends Barnabas back to his hometown, his city. It's an island, but he's from Cyprus, and he goes back to witness. Would you be willing to go back home and witness? It's hard to minister to our families, isn't it? And yet we're often called to be the ministers to our families. Barnabas knows the area, and so they're sent out. And when they arrive, what do? They proclaim the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They have John to assist them. They go through the whole island. But the whole point of this text is this conversion of the proconsul. Now, there's opposition. As they move through the whole island, he's not the only convert, no doubt. Why does Luke only share this particular salvation of this man? There's a reason for it. Because he's the first completely Roman Gentile who comes to faith of this Jewish sect, as it's been called so far. He comes to Christ, but there's opposition. We have to pray for these guys as they go out. There will be opposition. There will be. We have this false prophet, Bar-Jesus, which in Aramaic means the son of Jesus. And notice Saul's rebuke of him, as he is seeking to turn this proconsul away from the faith, which is what the enemy always does. He wants to turn us away from the faith. And Saul, filled with the Holy Spirit, notice it in verse 9, filled with the Holy Spirit, says, you son of the devil, you're not a son of Jesus. Saul says it very clearly. You're a son of the devil. You're an enemy of all righteousness, full of deceit and villainy. Will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord? Behold, you're going to be blind for a little while. And it happened immediately. What was the result? The proconsul saw what happened, and was he amazed at the miracle? Look at verse 12. Is that what it says? Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had occurred, for he was astonished at the miracle of the Lord. What's it say? Message or teaching. They've been preaching. The miracle confirmed what they had been teaching. They preached the gospel, and God's power demonstrated the authenticity of that message. Miracles always serve to confirm the message of the gospel, which is what we need to be excited about. That's our calling. Some of us might be called to go out. But as we finish up here for this segment, I just want to lead you with Ephesians chapter 4. Listen to your calling. All of us are called to be examples, every one of them. If you're a child of God, this is your calling. I, therefore, as a prisoner for the Lord, urge you, walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Some of us, like Saul and Barnabas, will be called out. Others of us need to remember the holy calling that we have been called to work hard to maintain unity, to walk in humility and gentleness, to love one another and endure with one another, forbear with one another. This is how we should live. Does this mark your life? Humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love? Let's pray that for one another. We need to pray it for one another. That's our calling. And we're going to invite Andy and Daniel to just come on up, and we will let them share what's going to be happening and what they're going to be doing. But I just want to ask you, will you pray for that kind of calling to happen from this church, vocational calling, but also the calling that we're called to is a holy walking. It's walking worthy. So you guys come on up.